It's City Desk, news and views from City Hall, Biloxi. And now the host of our program, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Here's Mr. Creel.
Good morning, William Sackett. We've had a lot of things going on in the City of Biloxi this week, and we are recording this program on Thursday, June 22nd.
Vincent, it is raining.
It's been raining, and it's going to continue to rain. That's going to be one of the focuses of our show today, and we have an authority here to talk about that. But we are recording this program on Thursday, June 22nd at 10:07 a.m. here at Biloxi City Hall. Joining me right now is Cecilia Dobbs-Walton, the Public Affairs Specialist for the city. You're all wet.
I am. It is a very rainy day. I'm soaked from knees down, and it's a great hair day.
It really is. It really is. If only we were on video. Yes. Now, we have had a number of other things going on besides the weather. We had a big city council meeting on Tuesday. One of the things that the city council did was they gave the okay for something Mayor Gillich has been talking about since he took office, the restoration of Ship Island Ferry Service to Ship Island, of course. It would be emanating from Point Cadet, and there's plans to build a pier down there. City-owned pier that would serve the Ship Island Ferry. But, you know, it wouldn't just be the Ship Island Ferry. There's been talk of a Deer Island Ferry. So no word yet on when construction would start, no word yet on when Ship Island Ferry service would begin here in Biloxi.
Is that Panamanian that we keep hearing about?
Panamanian. Pan-American Clipper is what the mayor keeps referring to it as. And also we want to make clear that people understand this is not the service moving from Gulfport. This will be complementing what's in Gulfport. The other thing that we did on Tuesday was we had a big meeting about the downtown restoration efforts. Didn't we, Cecilia? What's the focus of that?
We did. Howard Avenue. Opening the, making it Howard Avenue, no more Vue Marche, and making it open to two-lane traffic. The way it is right now, one-lane traffic, it kind of cuts off the flow in that area and for growth, and then the mayor wants to kind of bring it back to the way it used to look back in, I believe, was it the 1950s and 60s?
Yes, prior to urban renewal getting a hold of downtown Biloxi and essentially destroying it. Urban renewal, in the word of the mayor, was a failure. Let's go back to work what worked for us in the past. Now, if you want to know more about this, on the city's YouTube channel, we have a 25-minute video that has the blow-by-blow from the meeting. Here are the plans. Here's what we're looking to do. And there's one thing that's going to draw some attention, Cecilia, that is going to be on the west end of the east end of the project, kind of over there in Bradford O'Keefe in that area. And that is when you're on Howard Avenue and you're coming from Point Cadet to go downtown, you all of a sudden have to curve over on MLK Boulevard and go all the way around the downtown area. You're on the north side of the Vue Marche and of Howard Avenue. What we want to do is make it more inviting. And how they're going to do that is what's going to draw some attention. You know what I'm talking about?
A roundabout?
That's one of the things that they're talking about, a roundabout, or it would be a stop sign there with an intersection. We've got some diagrams, some concepts of that on the city's website. No decisions have been made on that, but there are a number of ideas that are being floated. What's been the other big story of the week, William?
Well, rain. Rain today, rain yesterday, rain tomorrow. I had the distinct pleasure of paddling my way here to Biloxi. I'm sorry I wasn't driving a 51 Packard. It would have been easy, but I have a more contemporary automobile. But rain, rain, rain.
It has been Groundhog Day. Now, we know what it's been looking like out there, but what I want to find out is where we are right now, what we've been through, where we are right now, and where we're headed. Here to discuss that is the emergency manager for the city of Biloxi and also a battalion chief in the fire department, Michelle Crawley. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Vincent. I appreciate that. Well, rain, rain, and more rain is just about right.
Okay, right now we're doing this program on June 22nd at 10:10. So tell people what the status is.
Unfortunately, the status is in the rivers. We've got flooding, flooding, flooding for the rivers. In fact, the Chittickabuff and the Biloxi rivers, which affect the city of Biloxi, are the problem children of the day. And we're looking to see them at crest at 17 feet and 16 feet.
So now you say 17 feet and 16 feet, but put that in perspective for me. What are they normally?
Okay. Well, the Chittickabuff River is usually at a stage of 8 feet. It's going to crest at 15. As of last night, it was at 12 feet. That was the Chutica Bluff. The Biloxi River is going to crest at 17 feet. Flood stage is at 12 feet. Now, the unfortunate part is we are having astronomical high tides. So that is contributing to the problem. And that means that we're going to see these flooding stages up until Saturday. High tides are going to continue until Monday. And the rain, unfortunately, is not going to slack off either. We're looking at 3 to 6 inches more of rain. That started last night, and possibly in some pockets up to 8 inches of rain. So we're not out of the woods yet. We're still working. Harrison County EOC is still open, and we keep getting updates as they come in.
This is your first event, isn't it, since you took over this job as the city's emergency manager. Now, having said that, I also need to point out you've worked for the fire department for a couple of years, so you've been around. How's it been so far?
Overall.
It's been great. I the directors of this city have done this so many times, and they know what to do, and they picked it up and ran with it. And I am just the coordinator. I'm the one that pushes information out, brings information in, and gets them the resources that they need. So this was a great event to practice on, and I thank God that it was a small event. And now we've got our feet wet, and we're going to do a great job. It's only up from here.
Now, I talked to Lewis Moran, who is over in the Biloxi Police Department. Lewis is a sergeant, but he's also in the intelligence unit over there. And he said that there were 22 calls for service so far in the police department for this storm. Now, from an operational perspective, those 22 calls, they encompass about 7% of their entire service calls during the period. And that would mean, he would say, that would suggest a minimal impact. However, those calls for service, they pose somewhat of a moderate impact to public safety because of the weather. For example, the patrol division, they had road flooding throughout the day yesterday. They also responded to a few minor crashes. Let me ask you this. Are you aware of any houses, any homes that have been receiving water flooding?
To my knowledge, there was only one home that actually received any damage to it. But mind you, where the Biloxi River comes down, we're actually seeing flooding and people could not get into their homes right now. So we did have a waterspout come on land yesterday, and we had some minor damage, but it delayed traffic for a while over on Rich Avenue and Pops Ferry area. And that caused a large tree to come down. They had to cut that out, Public Works did, and then we had to deal with the lights down at Pass Road and Pops Ferry. So we had a little bit of a delay.
One of the things that I was aware of is that there was an incident where one family from out of town, they were here vacationing, and they were out on Shireen Lane, which is off of Wool Market Lake Road. Y'all had to do a rapid water?
Swift water rescue. Yes. And that family actually got taken care of by the Red Cross. We talked to John McFarland yesterday from American Red Cross, and that family actually got taken care of. So that was the only one that we knew of, and then I think we had a traffic accident that, of course, involved some children, and they had to actually, you know, do some work at making sure they were taken care of.
But so
no problems at all, no injuries.
Michelle Crawley has been going to this event the last couple of nights, Cecilia, and we're going to be wrapping it up tonight. What are you ready?
That's it. That's exactly what it is. Are You Ready is the name of the event. It's been a series of events. We started on Tuesday. We had one at the Frank Grudge Center, then Wednesday at the Snyder Center, and we're ending tonight at the Joppa Shrine Center on Shriners Boulevard in Wool Market. It's 5 to 7:30 tonight, June the 22nd. Thursday is 5 to 7:30, and it's open to the public. It's just where public can come, and they can walk around booths. There's a lot of information to find out what they need to know to be prepared before, during, and after a storm. And it could be a hurricane, it could be a tornado, or it could be flooding, like we've talked about today.
Okay, but they're listening to us right now, Michelle Crawley, and the rain's still falling out there. What is your best advice to somebody listening to this?
They need to monitor the weather. That's the biggest thing. And if they have problems, then they need to call the dispatch center if they have issues. The 911 center is going to help them. But listen, we have put out voluntary evacuations in the areas by the rivers. Don't wait until the last minute to do anything. You need to make sure you have a plan in place. And that's what that Are You Ready is for, to talk about where's your plan. Do you have a plan A? Do you have a plan B? What are you going to do when they say it's time to evacuate? That's not the time to figure out what you're going to do. The time to figure it out is way before the storms even come in. Where's your food supplies? Where are you going to go if you're going to evacuate? Where are you going to put your pets at? How are you going to board up your home?
And don't forget the medicines.
Oh, yes. Make sure that you have plenty of prescription medications on hand. And you know the Red Cross says 3 days, but we're going to start talking about 5 days of supply. Now, Vincent, you know that it takes 1 gallon of water per day per person. So that's a lot of water to keep on hand, isn't it? But like John McFarland says from American Red Cross, you can have a party in December, and you can use all the crackers and cheese and Spam that you've got on hand. That's the way to do it. You've got to make that plan every year at the beginning of year. Now, when does hurricane season start? It starts in June. So we got to start thinking about it long before that, a couple months before that. Start making plans. Make your crackers and your cheese and your Spam and put it on the shelf.
When you go to the store, John McFarland has said it several times. He's going to say it again tonight. When you go to the store, just buy another extra six-pack of water. That's water, William, six-pack of water. And then the crackers and stuff, you just throw them in the back of the cupboard, and you will always have it there. Cecilia, there's been a lot of information there, and we've actually had more than 24 people show up at each of the things despite the weather.
That's correct. People are still coming out to get the information. Like I said, they'll gather a lot of information. Officials will be there from the city of Biloxi, American Red Cross, Salvation Army, Engineering, Public Works, where people can speak to. They'll have a roundtable discussion where they'll give information to the public, and then the public can ask them questions firsthand, what they might be interested in, what they may need to know for them to be prepared. And then a lot of information, checklist, what you need if you're going to go to a shelter, where the shelters are, which shelters take pets, what you need to bring with you to the shelter, what you can have with you at the shelter, and then other things too, just like Smart Vents was there, you know, just to help you prepare with some of your supplies around your home to make sure you are prepared. So there's a wealth of information, and again, that is tonight, June the 22nd, from 5 to 7:30 at the Joppa Shrine Center, and it's free. There'll be refreshments there and a wealth of information.
Okay, we do a lot of testing throughout the year, and we have storm plans that run throughout the year. Next week on July, July 5th, we were going to be testing our emergency warning sirens. And Michelle Crawley, as the emergency manager, made sure that we're going to start doing that once a month. However, those sirens were pressed into service earlier this week. And it indicated to Michelle why it's important that we do testing. Explain, Michelle.
Well, we had been silent testing, and we do a silent test every single day, so nobody really hears what's going on, but those sirens are tested, and if something's wrong, it actually goes to my phone.
Okay, Joe Boney, our esteemed fire chief, was here last week, and he made reference to those silent tests. Please explain, for the edification of Mr. Sackett and Cecilia and myself, exactly what is a silent test.
Please.
Okay.
Please. Yeah.
So actually what it does is there's a computer up at our dispatch center that sends a signal to that siren. The siren actually rotates and then rotates back, and it actually tells us whether or not it's receiving the signal. There's batteries inside of those that actually work in tandem with the electrical system, and if anything's wrong with that system, it tells me about it. So it'll actually call my phone and say, hey, this tower or that tower is down, and then we have to call the company out. So we were testing the silent test. Everything was going well. And within this computer system, just like any other computer system, it has something called a recipe. And each recipe is for the silent test, and then the recipe, again, is for the protective actions, for hurricane warnings and for tornado warnings. And unfortunately, yesterday we found out that the recipe was not correct for the tornado siren to go off. We attempted to activate it 3 times, and it failed to do that. I immediately called the technicians, and they actually drove over here from Louisiana and fixed the entire system last night. And probably some people in the Bay Vista area, and they're on Veterans Avenue, and also in the Oaklawn area, heard about a 30-second test last night. And we did an audible test on all 3 of those, and they worked. So I am very satisfied with July the 5th. Everything's going to be great.
Don't you think this whole effort is going to give a lot of people a lot of peace of mind at forewarning. I know they sat dormant for a number of decades as shrines to the wonderful world of alarms, but this, actively using it, I think is wonderful, is it not?
Oh, yes, and the thing we have to remember is when you hear that siren, that alerts you to one thing. I need to go inside, and I need to find out what's going on that weather channel, or WLOX, or WXXV, whatever you use. You need to find out what's going on. It doesn't necessarily mean that a tornado is touching down right now. What it means is that we've noticed that there's weather in the area that's imminent that could cause a tornado. And that's when we're going to use that tornado siren.
So. And when you hear that siren, one of the quickest places you can go, that what we are going to do is whenever she is going to alert that siren, when she's going to energize that thing, we post something right immediately on the city's Facebook page. You go to the city's Facebook page, and it tells you the siren is now sounding because of. And then we have a link exactly to the National Weather Service page that gives you the information.
Tornado, waterspout, hurricane, different tones or all one tone?
They're going to be different tones. So we're not going to do anything about the waterspouts. Those are going to be in tandem with the tornadoes, and they're going to be a solid, straight siren. You'll hear a big screech.
I just hate this idea of having different tones, but go ahead.
That's okay. We only have two tones that we're going to use. And the hurricane signal is going to be a high-low tone. And that is going to be tested on the first day of hurricane season and the last day of hurricane season. And what that tone is going to say is that we have evacuation in progress. So when they give the order that they want mandatory evacuations or voluntary evacuations, we're going to sound that siren. And that's really what we're using that for right now. I know, Vincent, it's two different sounds, but again, a sound means something's imminent.
Well, I was just going to say that. So no matter what I hear, even if I don't know this one is down or up, I go and check and find out what's happening.
Right. And trust me, you will hear it.
Can I ask you an historical question? And if you can't answer, it's fine because I can't remember. It's blurry to me. But I can remember growing up as a small boy. Of course, I'm from the Northeast. Is that any time a fire, at a firehouse, the alarm went off, and we would say, oh, there's a fire somewhere. We don't do that anymore, do we?
No, we actually have a system that tones us out so that we can respond to any type of emergency in the city.
But I think he meant like for the neighborhood, right? Is that what you meant?
Yeah, the neighborhood fire. When there was a fire, you heard an alarm or a bell, but usually it was an alarm, a horn going off, we knew, oh, the fire station was going to a fire, but that was all the time. So it could be at night, during the day, but just at the fire. And then that seemed to have gone away. Is it passé?
Well, you've got the sirens on the fire truck whenever they're leaving the station.
Yes.
We used to live, when I was growing up, we lived right around the corner from the Back Bay Fire Station, mm-hmm. and they had a real old fire truck, and it didn't have a muffler. So the first thing you could hear was the engine.
No, but really, that system has been retired. And, of course, you can go to the fire museum and see the bells that were actually used in the day. I remember when I first got on the fire department, and we had the old Lopez Cuave fire station, my job as a rookie was to put the flag up every day. But before you put the flag up, you hit the bell, and you went to put the flag up, and then you hit the bell again. So that was tradition in the fire service, but now that tradition has changed, and we've got our own alert system.
Anything else we need? If someone has a question for you, what's your email address?
You can email me at mcrowley@biloxi.ms.us. If you have any questions, you need any resources, please don't hesitate to send me an email. I really appreciate you doing that.
How do you spell her email address, Cecilia?
It's mcrowley@biloxi.ms.us.
Thank you very much. We are looking forward to the inauguration. It's going to be next week, the inauguration of the mayor and the city council. Details.
It'll be at the Sanger Theater on Wednesday, June the 28th. Is it at 5
doors
or 5:30?
Open at 5:30.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Doors open at 5:30. The program starts at 6 o'clock. There'll be just a little bit of light refreshments, but it'll have a wealth of information by swearing everybody in. You get to see all the council members, all the judges swearing each one of them in, and of course, Mayor Andrew Fofo Gillage will be there to be sworn in for his first 4-year term.
William, I think that pretty much wraps it up. We're going to have some stuff on our Facebook page. If you want to check now, we'll give you the latest on what's happening with the Biloxi Shuckers to let you know if they're playing tonight or tomorrow. They're scheduled to begin, I think, a 3 or 4 game homestand with the Mississippi Braves. But, of course, that's all going to be weather permitting. Some baseball would be a good respite at this point. Anything else as we wrap up?
No, just want to make sure that everybody stays safe and remember, turn around, don't drown. Make sure you do not go past those barricades. They're there for a reason.
You've been listening to Rupert Lacey. That's what's going on here, the Harrison County Emergency Manager. Cecilia, anything else as we wrap up?
Just as always, just make sure you follow our Facebook page and our website at biloxi.ms.us.
You've been listening to City Desk News and Views from City Hall, Biloxi, with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. This is William Sackett speaking.